Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints of God, baptized into the holy name of Jesus, you were once lost and condemned creatures, children of wrath, disobedient to God's laws, living in impenitence, and separated from Christ. But you were redeemed by the blood of Christ. You were called by the gospel to repent of your sins and to trust in Christ for forgiveness. You were baptized, washed in the water and the word, washed of your sin, adopted into God's family, given new birth and new life. You were born again, and now by faith alone you stand righteous and innocent before God. This is the gift of God given to each of you. You were born again, not of perishable seed, as St. Peter says, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God. Your faith, by which you stand righteous before God, was born of God's Word. It was the Word of Christ that revealed Him to you as a good and merciful Savior. And it's that same Word that keeps you in the faith so that you persevere through every trial and test and temptation of this life until you reach the end of your life and receive the crown of life. So faith, by which you stand righteous before God, depends from start to finish upon God's Word. Mess with the Word, and you mess with faith, by which alone you stand righteous before God. The devil knows this. The devil knows that he can't mess with Christ. And he can't touch your faith directly. He can't force you out of Christ's hand. Nothing in all creation can do that. And he can't change the word of Christ. It is written and cannot be unwritten from the pages of Holy Scripture. It endures forever. What he can mess with is the preaching of the word. He can set up falsehood and make it look like truth. He can raise up his own false apostles, dress them up to look like godly, sincere Christians, in sheep's clothing, as it were, to proclaim falsehood, not in the name of the devil, but in the name of God. And so he hopes to lure you away from Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, into believing in a God who is a lie, who is not the one true God, and yet still goes by the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The devil attacks your faith by attacking the preaching of God's word. So you might think that, to make it easier on us, Jesus would have just told his disciples, don't listen to anyone. Don't trust anyone. Don't worry about hearing the preaching of the word or going to church at all. Just stay at home, read your Bible, sit in a corner, and you'll be fine. Then no false prophets will ever come near you. But Jesus never once said that. On the contrary, he commands all people to listen to the preachers whom he himself has sent out into the world. And he commands believers to gather around the word where it is rightly preached and to gather together around the sacraments where they are rightly administered. At the same time, Jesus commands his disciples most earnestly in our gospel, beware of false prophets. Beware of false prophets, not the most popular command Jesus has ever given, especially in the world in which we live today, where everybody's notion of Jesus is this meek, always friendly, never condemning preacher of love and tolerance, who never wants anybody to judge anybody for anything, and who doesn't really care which church anybody goes to as long as the message sounds sincere and you feel comfortable there. Friends, I don't know which Jesus that is, but it isn't the real Jesus. It isn't the Jesus who spoke in today's gospel. The real Jesus commanded his disciples to beware of false prophets. So if you would listen to Jesus, if you would be Christians, then you will do what he says. Now, what are false prophets? Who, as Jesus says, come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. A false prophet is anyone who pretends to teach you things about God that are not true, who pretends to proclaim to you words from God that God never actually said, and teachings from God that God never taught. Beware, Jesus says, because they won't come to you praising the devil or cursing the name of God. They never come like that. They will come in the name of love and sincerity and zeal for God. They will say things that sound so good, and then maybe even point you to a passage in the Bible to prove their authenticity, just like the devil did when he tempted Jesus for 40 days in the wilderness. How is the false prophet recognized? Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. In other words, you can't look at the tree. You can't look at the prophet or the preacher himself. What he looks like, the sound of his speech, his style, his facial expressions, you can't look at the man, or these days, the woman. You have to look at what comes out of their mouth and compare it to the only rule and standard and measure that God has given, which is his holy word. Just as if you pick up an apple, especially if you pick it from a tree, and you turn it around in your hand to make sure there are no rotten spots on it anywhere, so you must do with the words that come out of anyone's mouth who pretends to speak for God. Turn them around, look at them every which way, and compare it to the standard of God's word. That's what John said in his first epistle too. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And that was 2,000 years ago. You don't test the spirits by measuring someone's words according to your heart or what you happen to believe, but according to the measure of God's word, the Holy Scriptures. Now, who are the false prophets of our time? Just as already many had gone out in the Apostle John's day, so that number has multiplied infinitely in our day. First, they include everyone who does not confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and the world's only Savior. So every Buddhist monk is a false prophet. Every Muslim imam and ayatollah is a false prophet. Every Jewish rabbi is a false prophet. Those are the easy ones to identify. Then there are those who use the name of Jesus but redefine his history and his teaching, twist his gospel into a works righteous message and add their own prophecies to his teachings, like the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. Every teacher of those religions is a false prophet. From there, it gets harder and less comfortable. Because under the broad umbrella of those who call themselves Christian preachers, most of them preaching in today's world are false prophets. But we don't like to think about that. We want to assume the best of others who call themselves Christian preachers. And in fact, we may analyze their teachings and find that many things that they say are true. If we analyze the rest of their message, we find some false things, and we say, well, yeah, but there's a lot of good things. And then the Apostle Paul's warning to the Corinthians and also to the Galatians becomes all important. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, a little falsehood mixed in with the truth turns the whole message into falsehood. So when Christian preachers mix in a little works righteousness into their teaching of righteousness by faith alone in Christ, they become false prophets. When preachers teach contrary to Paul's words in today's epistle, that it's okay to gratify the desires of your flesh, they reveal themselves as false prophets. When they talk much about the Holy Spirit, but deny the means of grace as the vehicles or instruments or the means of grace that the Holy Spirit uses to bring us to faith and sustain our faith, and they reject God's working in holy baptism or the presence of Jesus' body and blood in the sacrament of the altar, they reveal themselves as false prophets, and that's just about every church around us in our country. When they reject the gospel that God justifies sinners only by faith in Christ, they become false prophets. So we have this command from Jesus to beware of them. And yet our flesh rebels against Christ's command and sets up its own idols to keep Christians from doing what Jesus said to do. There is the idol of laziness. It takes effort to judge doctrine. Probably less effort than most people think, but still, it takes effort. It takes regular, ongoing study of the Holy Scriptures so that the Holy Spirit, through His Word, can lead us to the truth and away from error. But our flesh wants to sit back and relax, or sleep in, or put it off, or not bother with anything beyond a basic listening. Well, it doesn't sound too bad. To bow down before the idol of laziness, causing Christians to become lukewarm toward the truth. Then there's the idol of tolerance, as mentioned before, before which our modern society bows. This idol demands that we not judge anyone and that we never dare claim to know the truth, but only to have a version of our own truth. It's not nice, after all, to identify error. It will offend people and make them squirm. Then there's the idol of self, which leads people to choose a church not based on the truth or error that is taught and proclaimed there, but based on how the place makes you feel. Their feelings become their god. Their comfort becomes their idol. Their personal preference becomes their compass instead of God's word. Finally, these and whatever idols there may be that people construct in their hearts lead people away from the truth of Jesus into falsehood and unbelief. The most tragic kind of unbelief. Because it's not that any of these so-called Christians would ever say, I don't believe in Jesus. They would never say that. They all would say, I believe in Jesus. But the Jesus that they have come to know through false teaching is a false Jesus, an imposter, even a demon. And that's the warning that Jesus ends with in our gospel today, which sounded very stern, didn't it? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I'll admit something to you this morning. I don't like to preach on this text. That is, my flesh does not like to preach on this text. It rebels against it. I'd much prefer to preach on a gospel like last week's gospel of the feeding of the 4,000, which only showed the kindness and mercy of Jesus toward those who followed him. Because today's gospel is the kind that preachers tend to hear complaints about and that hearers don't tend to like. And so I don't like preaching on it. But to not preach on it would be to serve men and not God. Today's gospel is just as much the word of Christ as last week's gospel was. And he sends it to you today for a reason, that you may not ever hear those terrible words of Jesus, I never knew you, depart from me. If you have set up an idol in your heart, if you have not taken the doctrine of Christ seriously, if you have not obeyed Christ's command to beware of false prophets, then now is the time to repent and put your faith in Jesus, who died for you and still gives you his grace right here in the Word, right here in his sacrament, full forgiveness and a new beginning starting again today. If you worry about Jesus' command to beware of false prophets, if you take his warning seriously, but you're afraid because you don't know if you'll be able to do it, if you'll be able to identify false teaching and tell it apart from right teaching in this world with so many people telling you different things, then know that Christ has not abandoned you in this world to fend for yourself, as if it depended on you to find and figure out the truth for yourself. For this very thing, he has given you the gift of his Holy Spirit when you were baptized. The very Spirit of whom Paul spoke in Romans 8 today, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit that knows that Jesus is kind and merciful and has forgiven you your sins and given himself for you, that Spirit guides you into all truth. It's not you who has to flounder around looking for it. Or the armor of God that Paul talks about to the Ephesians, that spiritual armor in our fight against the devil and all of his minions, that armor and that weaponry that is not made of steel or of human reason, but the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is yours, in your hands, if you will only put on that armor, if you will only use it. Or as Jesus promised his disciples who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you have the promise of Jesus and his Holy Spirit attached to guide you into all truth and to set you free through it if you abide in my word. Well, here is his word for you, to you, again today and each and every week. You have it here. You have it to study in your homes whenever you wish. And we will be beginning a new, rather intensive Bible study, as I've mentioned before, in just a few weeks. Why? In order to equip you, the saints of God, to judge properly between the teaching of Christ and false doctrine. To equip you to do just what Jesus says in today's gospel, to beware of false prophets. Don't let the idols keep you away. The better you know Christ and his word, the more equipped you will be to walk through this life, to discern right from wrong, true preaching from false, to believe what's right, to cling to what is right and true, and to tell others too where they can find the truth, so that you don't just say, well, come to my church because it's my church and it's where I go. Come to my church. Hear the preaching of the word, because this is true and that is false. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.